Very often, we use the U.S. Postal Service to send something. But when you absolutely, positively have to get it there, you have to pay a little extra for what I call that special delivery letter. That happened to me few years back. I got a special delivery letter and opened it up, and it says, here is a summons. You are to appear in court and be a witness for the prosecution in the case against such and such, such and such. So when they wanted to make sure that I got it, they sent it special. Today is December 17th. In the year of our Lord, 2023. We're going to take just a small pause from Hebrews. And I want you to take your minds and realize what happened when Christ came to earth as a sacrifice for our sins. So you have to relax your thoughts. Center all your thoughts around Jesus this morning and the gift that he gave us. Now, I'm going to begin with a little story here. Anyone, you ever read stories to your kids or grandkids? Or when you were a kid, did your mom read stories to you? Or maybe it was your father, I don't know. And how did they always begin? Perfect. And so this morning, once upon a time, there was a little world. And this little world thought it was doing okay. It was going all around and living in the pleasures of life. Until one day it noticed that all of a sudden, it was going in a circle. And it got caught in this black whirlpool. You ever watch the tub drain? And when it gets down to where there's not that much water in it, you see that little whirlpool. And it was caught in it. And around it was going. And deeper it was sinking. And the world tried to swim away. It tried to save itself, but it couldn't. It looked like it was doomed for destruction. Until a message was found. And the message said, "I will save you." Now the world had hope. And then suddenly, after some time, we don't know how much time, but this loving hand came down from the reaches of space and plunged into that hole and lifted the world out free. Then he placed that in the sky where it lived happily ever after. that's kind of a whimsical story, and I see a lot of you laughing, and I'm glad you did, because it was meant to make you realize that if you thought about that story really deep, I mean you thought about it, that little earth in the story is our world. And if you go even smaller than our world, that's each one of us. We're sinking deeper and deeper into the black hole of sin. And our world wasn't doing very well. But like the story, a prophet received a special delivery letter, a message from God. And the message said, "The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And we know Emmanuel means God with us. Without hope, there's no reason to live. When I served my term in Vietnam, I saw a lot of people with no hope. They had no hope because they had no God. And that's what brought me home, was the Lord. And there's so many people today, they get sick. Lost my place, guys. Yes. They believe that they'll never recover from that sickness. And they lose hope. And shortly, they actually give up the will to live. And they die. This message gave the world hope. And after the prophecy of the birth of Jesus, because that's what that message was, prophesizing the birth of Jesus, some 730 years went by. And the world was still sinking because it can't pull itself out. And we can't pull ourselves out. We need somebody bigger, somebody stronger to grab hold of our hand and lift us free. All the world was waiting for the Messiah. He's going to come and save us, they were thinking. Who would it be? How will he do it? And they all had their own ideas of who, what, where, when will he free us from the Romans? See, they thought too small. They were thinking of their own tiny personal situation of being under the control of the Romans, and they thought that the Messiah would come and free them from that. But God, in his timing now, his timing is so perfect. He waited 730 years and he sent the messenger. Now, he didn't send it to the king's palace. He didn't send it to the high priest. He didn't send it to anybody of rank, of stature, of wealth. This mighty messenger from Almighty God comes down from heaven through the ages of time and space, and he comes to a little town called Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? That's what people thought. Let's read Luke's account. Luke chapter 1, and we drop down to verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice highly, favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord of God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, she also has conceived a son in her old age, and is now in the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." And then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Gabriel, one of the highest ranking angels in heaven. In another scripture it says, "I sit or stand in the presence of God," when he was talking to Zechariah, comes to Mary, and they talk face to face. Let your mind wonder and wander a little bit about that. That would be kind of scary, don't you think? In fact, we studied angels a few weeks ago, and we found out that they're very powerful creatures. I would be scared. In fact, I'd be petrified, probably. But it's also remarkable. It's remarkable because, although I was going to use some examples here, they're not here. Mary was only about 14, maybe to 16 years old. She was a young, innocent teenager. Nazareth was a poor city. It had low morals. That's why Nathanael said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" He knew the reputation there. It even had a lesser of a desire for religion. And Mary is a young teenager. She's planning her wedding. Says she's betrothed. So she's planning her wedding, and she's thinking about things that young girls think about. What do young girls think about? Oh, what to wear? Chores I got to do today? Is it my day to cook? Boys. But think about the situation here. She's not yet a woman. She's a young child. And she's told, "You are going to become pregnant, and you're going to give birth to the Son of God, the Christ, the long-awaited Messiah you're going to give birth to." I bet her mouth dropped open. But even though she's a young, innocent girl, she responds as if she's a mature woman. How would you react? I mean, think about it. How would you react when God informs you of some miraculous happenings that's going to be in your life? You are going to be the one that goes to Carnegie Hall, and you're going to perform. Not in this life. But that's the magnitude of this message that was delivered to Mary. And when that message comes to us, will we reply, let it be according to your will? If we totally trust God, and I mean totally, surrender and trust, then that would be our reply. Okay, Lord, I can't do it, but I know you can. And so let it be according to your will. But Mary is engaged to be married here. And I wonder how her fiancé feels about this. What does he think about the good news that Mary has to share? The scripture doesn't record Mary's conversation with Joseph. So allow me to extrapolate a little bit. Hi, Joseph. We have to talk. Don't you love that, guys? We have to talk. You know that prophecy back in the scroll of Isaiah? Somewhere around there? Because they didn't have chapter and verse then. That's about me. I'm the virgin. I'm pregnant. But don't be mad. Don't worry. I haven't been unfaithful to you. Now, I'm not making light of this or fun of it. I'm setting you up to turn to Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to see what Joseph's reaction is. And so we jump over to Matthew chapter 1, down around verse 18, and we get to see Joseph's excitement of joy here. Verse 18, the birth of Jesus was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, and then they quote Isaiah 7:14. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Interesting is that in the scriptures about this miraculous conception and announcement of Jesus coming to earth, Zechariah is quoted as to what he said. I don't believe you. And so the angel Gabriel says, okay, then you're not going to talk until the child's born. Mary says, I believe you, but how is that going to be? And so he explains it to her. Joseph says nothing. There's no quote of what Joseph says. He has troubling thoughts, justifyingly. He's unsure how to handle this. Oh, this is outrageous. I think I'll just put her away quietly and go on my business. There comes to each one of us times that we don't know what to do. But instead of just jumping to conclusions and making rash decisions, we have to be like Joseph. He is a good example for us. Calm. Think about it. Pray about it. And maybe God will come to you in a dream. And He will give you the answers that you seek. We have no idea what God has in store for our lives here. And we can't even prepare for such an event. Mary did not prepare for that. Of course, neither did Joseph. So we can't prepare. All we can do is faithfully follow Jesus Christ and be available when He calls us. Will He call us? Maybe. Why did He pick Mary and Joseph? This was going to be the biggest and most spectacular event that the world had ever seen. And so God had to handpick the people He wanted in this. They were nobodies. Yes, that's right. Only God knows the heart. And after looking into everybody's heart throughout all time, He made the perfect choice, Mary and Joseph. Some 700 years before they were born, He made the perfect choice to be the earthly parents of the Son of God. And He's still doing that. All the time. Right now, up to today, He's still doing it. He is hand-picking each mother to the children that He gives them. You are special. You are honored. You are destined to be who you are and whom you are by divine authority. So here's what we have to think about this Christmas season. Mary and Joseph were common people. They were going about their daily task. When God comes to them and says, I want to use you to fulfill my promise to the world. And both of them said, yes, Lord. I made the promise, 730 BC, and then He waits, and He waits, and He waits, not yet, and He waits. And He chooses a time and place for fulfillment. Now, every one of us has read this account probably many times. Do you really realize the difficulty that Mary and Joseph had to say yes? They were scared. They were worried. Probably terrified. This would be the ultimate test of trust. Faith that God would take care of them. For Mary to be pregnant, and not by her husband, that was adultery. Adultery in those days was punishable by stoning to death. for Joseph, a just man, an honest man, to say nothing about this and agree, just let's get married, Mary. That would ruin his reputation as an honorable man. Everybody in the community would look at him. They would look at her. They would have two thoughts. You guys been together beforehand? That's the first thought. He was a professional carpenter. It would ruin his business. Nobody would go to him. He's a dishonest man. And God knows all this beforehand. And that's why Gabriel, when he came to both of them, said the same thing. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. He says to us today, when I call you to do something that is out of the ordinary for you, that is to the limits of extraordinary, do not be afraid, for I am with you. And the task you are being asked to do is from the Most High. So in these few Christmas verses that I just read this morning, we have the chance to put our faith and our trust where our mouth is. You heard the expression before, put the money where your mouth is? God's calling us to put our faith where our mouth is. You say you're a follower of me. I need you to do this for me. Will you do it? Do we believe the promises of God? Even when they are not blessed upon us for quite some time, and they're not in our timing of events, do we still believe them? This Christmas message comes to every single one of us during our lifetime. Do we listen to his voice? And do we obey it? Lord, Heavenly Father, as we celebrate the birth of Jesus this year, we have this Christmas spirit among us. We pray for it to be within us. And not just now, today only, but throughout the rest of our days on earth, that we possess this Christmas spirit of Christ coming and living in us, guiding and directing and helping us to do your will, Father, no matter what the world says, no matter what we say we can and cannot do, we know that we can do all things through you. And so, strengthen us, enable us. Lord, use us. In Jesus' name we come. Amen.